Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another Catholic talk show. Today, we're going to be talking about the Catholic Church. Is it superstitious?
That's right. We're going to take a look at what is superstition. What does the Catholic Church teach about superstitions, whether they're right or wrong? And then we're going to look at the origins of different popular and common superstitions.
So put your magic eight ball down and let's get going. Now that we've taken care of the eight ball, did you ever have one of those growing up?
I did. And you know what? I'm going to consult the magic eight ball and it says, is this going to be a great episode? All signs point to yes.
That was one of them.
I didn't have a magic eight ball. I had a magic Yoda. It was the same thing. And you turn
that's
it
cool.
over. Yeah. That thing's probably worth money now.
That's cool.
Yeah, I love that thing when I was a kid.
Yeah, that's pretty neat, man.
A lot of times superstition can creep its way into religion. And frankly, I think a lot of times some of the Catholic pious practices can border on superstition, and it's our duty to counter that, right? And to really understand what superstition is and why it harms our faith, right?
Yeah.
And why it's detrimental and when it could be innocuous.
Yeah, and there's a real fine line here that we're going to be going through to help you guys understand at home where this line is that people can cross. And I think it's important because I've encountered a lot of people that I thought were very pious and realized that it was almost like an exchange system. Like if I did this many prayers, then I get this many graces of, and there are also, we'll talk a little bit more about some cultures that have a tendency to be more on the superstitious side,
sure.
Because that is something that occurs in a phenomenon.
Italians.
No, a lot of cultures that, don't have a lot of financial, capacity, I'm thinking about the Mexican culture.
Sure.
A lot of superstitions are involved there. But it's practicing our faith. We'll examine this and put the lines up somewhere.
So if you don't want to break Brian De La Cruz's back and you don't want to have 7 years of bad luck, just make sure you just go and click like, share, and subscribe right now. That'll avoid any of the negative outputs of that.
Wow.
You're saving Ryan's life.
They're doing it now, Ryan. I can feel it.
Oh, there's
it
another one.
It feels great. That worked good.
Or you can go to CatholicTalkShow.com and you can find all the different ways to subscribe to us. You can find us on all the social media platforms. You can find us on the podcast player of your choice, or you can find us on any of the video sharing platforms. And if you want to support the show, go to CatholicTalkShow.com/Patreon. There you can find all the different ways and tiers that you can support us and get great gifts, swag, and other things in our appreciation of your support and your participation in our ministry to reach more people online through with the Catholic faith.
Yeah, man.
So, Ryan, are you superstitious? I mean, you're a baseball player.
I was a baseball player.
Has so many superstitions. Don't step on the chalk. You know, always eat the same thing before the game. If you're going through a slump, you know, wear your socks inside out, put on a rally cap. You know, you got your rally bird. You always pat the baseball so many times. You always put your glove in the same place. I mean, you can find so many examples of superstition just in that one particular instance.
I got to tell you, like, a lot of it is superstition. A lot of it is ritual, right?
Yeah.
Because you're keeping things locked in. Especially if you're pitching well, you know, you don't want to
change anything.
Yeah. You want to stay in your groove where you've been sitting, just kind of like, so that you're not thinking about other things. You're just trying to stay in the zone. So a lot of that is, and then others like respect for the game, not stepping on the chalk, but in some people, there may be a little bit of superstition. I know that rally caps and, you know, they were all over the place in baseball.
You know, I think a lot of times superstition comes from, I think one of the very defining characteristics of humans and why humans are, you know, capable beyond other animals to create a society and a culture is our pattern recognition ability. Mm-hmm. We're able to look at something and say, if this happens, then this happens, that we can recognize causality that separates us from the animals, right?
Right.
That's also what gives us culpability and sin, that we can recognize causality.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the defining things that is the spark of humanity that separates us from the animals. But superstition is like, look, I did this thing one time and it was at 2:11 and I use my left hand. So if I do that again, maybe I will get the same results, right? So I think it's a pattern recognition thing.
It's outcome based too.
Like
a lot of times, like people will talk about a journey that they have with the Lord and these signs that, that God provides to them to guide them and light their path. That is not like doing something and expecting an outcome the same. Like there's a very different, again, and we're talking about this fine line here.
Sure.
Like we really are. And it's outcome driven. Like, it's like, if I do this, this will happen.
Right. And that's a little bit of trying to buy or act your way into heaven, which is contrary to faith. So superstition, the word superstition goes back. It's a Latin word, and it goes, and we find this in Cicero. It's to stand in terror of the deity. That's what superstition from the supersisto means, to stand in terror of the deity. So unless I do this action,
the deity will
the
not.
The deity's going to smoke me.
It's
right?
Like Jobu.
You're right. It's like Jobu. Jobu.
Do not drink the rum.
Don't drink Jobu's rum. It's a very bad thing.
It's a very bad thing.
He's like, up here's Jobu, and then he gets a bat to the back of the head.
Yeah.
That's what happens.
Yeah, that's what happens.
Right?
Yeah.
You don't mess with Jobu. But that's the kind of mentality is that you're standing in terror of the deity. Now, Thomas Aquinas talked about superstition. And what he said, and this is a really interesting thing, he said that superstition is, and this would go back to like the Nicomachean Ethics, right? Where you talk about the excess or the deviation or the lack of something in, as a virtue.
Mm-hmm.
He said superstition, and you can see Aristotle all over this. He said superstition is the excess of religion to a fault, right? Specifically, he says superstition is a vice opposed to religion by the way of excess. Not because in the worship of God it does more than true religion, but because it offers divine worship to beings other than God or offers worship to God in an improper manner. Superstition sins by excess of religion, and this differs from the vice of irreligion, which sins by defect.
Mm.
The theological virtue of religion stands in the midway between the two. I mean, that sounds exactly like the Nicomachean Ethics, right?
That does.
Right?
Yeah.
But he's saying superstition is the excess of religion. And you'll hear a lot of times people saying Catholics are all superstitious because we have a lot of religion and they have very little of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that they can even recognize the overuse of religion in some of these things. Like, well, if I don't kiss St. Peter's toe when I leave the church, I'm going to hell.
Mm-hmm.
That's not true. That's not where your salvation comes from. Your salvation comes through Christ. But these other things are pious actions to help you maintain your faith and grow your faith. But there's that line that can get crossed.
Yeah, I wonder what causes somebody to cross that line. Like, what is the disposition of a person that would be inclined to do that sin?
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a spiritual laziness in there somewhere where you're expecting, if I just do this and the outcome, and I don't have to like go out there and actually participate in this, it'll just come to me.
Well, maybe it's a lack of trust of God that, like, unless I do this, God's not going to see me. And like, God's not powerful enough to really see me unless I do these particular acts in this particular order. And I think that can start to get into, you know, scrupulosity.
There
right?
is a there,
or
yeah.
obsessive compulsive disorder.
Obsessive compulsive, there is a lady, God bless her. She had a van, and when I was in my phase of going to adoration every day, I'd find her in there, and we talked a few times.
In a van? This sounds
no.
bizarre, dude.
I'm not saying this right. there were some strange things. Like, she would say, "Well, you know, they're cutting the lights off at my house," and da 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 da. And I'm like, "You're in here 7 hours a day, 5 hours a day. Like, you know, maybe mix it up a little bit." You know what I mean? Like, and she's like, "No, if I just pray." And I don't want to judge somebody like that. I mean, that is the last thing on my heart. But sometimes I remember there were practical things that weren't being done in her life.
Right.
And it was always prayer. It was never like, okay, I should probably go take care of this, you know?
Well, that could be like, you know, you see like be fundamentalists who will, you know, it's not just Catholics who can be superstitious. You know, you look at a fundamentalist like, no, my kid has cancer and we're going to pray for it and it'll go away. And if we go to a doctor, if we even go to a doctor, it shows to God that we don't trust him. Right.
Yeah.
So that's a superstitious thing, that if we even employ medicine, we are offending God through our actions. Well, that's superstition in and of itself as well. Right.
I keep thinking of Will Ferrell in, that movie where he's a politician and he was handling
the one where
snakes.
He punches the baby.
No, he's handling the snakes at the church, okay. You know, to try to get their vote. Yeah. And one of them bites him. He's like, "Oh, let's go get a burrito."
That was so funny.
So, the Catholic Dictionary defines four types of superstition, and the four types are the improper worship of the true God, idolatry, divination, and vain observances. So that includes things like the magic arts and occults, right? So, you know, those four different things, like the improper worship of God, right? Thinking that you can trick God into blessing or saving you by your actions. You cannot. And, you know, this is something people accuse Catholics of, but we can't win our salvation through our actions. Our salvation comes through the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. Mm-hmm. Now, our actions can be our participation in our salvation. They can be, you know, like James says, you know, faith without works is dead. You know, mm-hmm. It can be the sign of life, and it can be our duty to other people and our duty to God in religion as a form of worship. But we are not saving ourselves through our actions. You cannot say enough rosaries to save yourself, mm-hmm. right? Rosaries are a sign of your devotion to Christ who saves us and a meditation on the actions that he took to save us.
Right.
So that's where this type of thing can go sideways. That's the improper worship of the true God, right?
Yeah. And again, it's just kind of like this line and you know, it's discernment. I always say, like, you know, we practice our faith. Like, you're practicing your faith, right? You're trying to make improvements to your prayer life and Lent. You see the outcome and the fruit of that. You're, you know, fasting. You're, you know, practicing your faith in ways that draw you closer to God. And then there's practices that are expecting an outcome, right? Instead of just walking and working out your salvation.
Yeah.
You know?
So that first one, improper worship of God, is adding stuff to proper and approved performances that are unnecessary, right? Mm. So you go to Mass, but every time you go to Mass, you have to go down on your left knee three times. You have to do this superstitious ritual on top of the Mass that is already sanctifying. Mm-hmm. You know, when you go and receive communion, if you don't do a certain motion and if you don't say a certain prayer afterwards, then it's ineffective. That because that's you're trying to add something to the source and summit of communion, right? Can't do it. That's an example of adding that becomes a superstition. The second type is idolatry, and we all know what idolatry is, right? But you can make an idol of so many things in your life and it becomes superstitious, right? You could be, you know, idolatrous that, like, if I don't work out every day, I'm going to die. If I don't make money, it's proof that God is not in my favor.
Yeah.
Like, there's so many different ways that you can make idols out of the things that...
And God wants to favor you, so go make money.
Yeah. Or things like superstitious practices like the universe or chakras or amulets or stones or stuff like that.
Yeah.
Or the stars. Those are... You're ascribing divine powers to inanimate and unaware things. So
right.
That's idolatry.
It's kind of like, okay, so all these stars in this massive universe have aligned in a particular way so you can decide whether or not this guy's good for you.
Right.
Like, you know, like, that's a little far-fetched, but, you know.
Maybe. I don't know. Probably not.
Probably not.
The third kind is divination, right? And that's trying to extract from religious rites, knowledge of future things, or things that are only known to God. So that's things like Ouija boards. That's also things like astrology.
Occult.
That's also things like trying to, you know, a superstitious practice like, if I say these, bartering with God, right? Saying, look, if I do these three things, then this won't happen. If I knock on wood three times, my plane won't crash, right? Those are kinds of things that you're trying to control the outcome or understand the outcome of future events.
Well, but I've heard women say that their kids were dying and they offer their child to God if
That's
he would
different.
Save them. It's
but
different.
It's, but it's not a bartering, you know? It's like, right. It's not a...
It's an if.
It's an if. Yeah. Like, I'm offering him to you, but your will be done.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then the last one is vain observances. So these are all the occults. And there's a really great list of them in the Catholic dictionary. So astrology. which is the reading of the future of man's destiny from the stars. Aromancy, which is by the winds and the airs. Amulets, palm reading. Captomancy, which is by reading smoke. Catropanancy, which is by mirrors. Alomancy, by salt. Cartomancy, by playing cards. So like, what do they call those cards?
Tarot
cards, right? this one's crazy. Anthropomancy, which is the inspection of human viscera.
Dang.
So, you know what they would do? They would execute and kill people, cut their guts out, and then based on the color of their guts, they're like, we're going to win or lose this battle.
Oh my gosh.
That's the crazy stuff they did before Christianity. Everyone's like, religion was peaceful, and we were in touch with nature, and they worshiped the trees, and they put in daisies in the hair. No, they didn't. They cut people open and said, well, this dude's kidney's a little red. That means that there's going to be a good harvest.
Well, what about those like Mayans or Aztecs? They would kill somebody every day so that the sun would come up.
Yeah.
Like they really thought that that's what. Oh gosh!
Right, but Christianity
is so close.
Christianity was mean, and they imposed a mean thing on everyone. They were just sun-loving hippies who were just nice to everyone. No, they weren't. They were cutting people open so the sun would come up because they're you know, pagans. So here's a few more. The Bellomancy, by shuffling of arrows, which you can find in Ezekiel 21, which is interesting. Or like the straws, like, okay, let's pick straws, right?
Yeah.
Geomancy, by points, lines, or figures traced into the ground. You can see that in like the Nazca lines.
Mm.
Hydromancy, by reading water. Idolatry, which is the worship of idols. Sabianism, the worship of the sun, moon, and the stars. Zoolatry and fetishism, the worship of animals, man, and things without sense. So you'll see a lot of this like... in African cultures and in Caribbean cultures, you'll see fetishes where they worship a little bull. It's a good luck charm.
Mm-hmm.
It's a talisman. Devil worship, obviously. Satanism. The worship of abstract notions personified. You saw a lot of this during the French Revolution, like the cult of victory or peace or fame, concord, or like, oh, wisdom. Like, and you worship wisdom or liberty as a personified concept, right? Necromancy, the evocation of the dead. Oniromancy, the interpretation of dreams. You see that a lot too. It's like, well, if you see this particular similar dream, that means that this is going to happen. And I think that's a form of divination.
Mm-hmm.
potions, charms to excite love. You know, love potion number 9, that whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Spanish fly, whatever it is.
Yep.
Omens or prognostications of future events, witchcraft and magic in all of their forms, lucky and unlucky days, numbers, persons, things, or actions. So like lucky charms, you know, Friday the 13th, you know, Ides of March, those types of things. And then like things like the evil eye, spells, incantations. You think like, oh, someone cursed me and I need to, someone's using a, you know, juju doll on me and poking pins in my eyes, right?
Yeah, we were in the seminary, I forget the name of the Haitian kind of Santeria.
Yeah, Santeria.
They would throw dead chickens over at us in the seminary.
Joke's on you. I'm into dead chickens. I fry them up.
Yeah, they kill a chicken and they just toss it over the fence. We had like this big, you know, this.
Did you feel affected?
Big growth of bush. No, we were laughing. It's like, what the heck? Another chicken today.
Another chicken. Again, doesn't that go back to Joe Boo that they had to sacrifice a chicken to Joe Boo and they got him KFC?
All things point to Joe Boo.
Right? Our God will smite Joe Boo. So, I mean, you can see how these things can be damaging to your faith, right? That, you know, they can start to supersede your trust in God. They can start to put your own trust in yourself and your own actions.
Yeah, dependency.
Your dependency, contingency, and a rejection of God's free grace and a rejection of Christ's sacrifice to win all of our salvation, right? And I do think that a lot of Catholic practices can, by their nature, lead some people to become superstitious, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not superstitious. I'm only a little stitious, right?
What about You're not super.
I'm not superstitious.
Yeah.
You'll see this a lot. Like, my grandma seemed to be superstitious, you know? They passed on these old wives' tales, mm-hmm. like, things like, well, you know, you don't open an umbrella in the house, right? things like that, right?
Or like if you're, you know, my grandpa used to always say, you rub some apple cider vinegar on it, you'll be fine. The medical community doesn't want you to know.
They don't want you to know. Unfiltered apple cider cures everything. Just go gargle with that. You'll be fine.
He's so funny. He was so funny.
You know, but again, that probably goes from the fact that there's probably some truth to that, right? Yeah. And then there's observances, and then it becomes you don't understand why something works. You just understand that maybe it kind of works, mm-hmm. and then you ascribe to it powers or notions that are outside of reality.
Yeah. And you mentioned Aristotle, too, is that, you know, one of the things I appreciated about the seminary is we have 1 year of philosophy, and basically it was just learning how to think, right? Yeah. I mean, that's basically what it is, because a lot of times theology can carry you away.
Sure.
And to the point where you're not doing things that are reasoned properly, right? And so the church is like, well, this is the most important thing. Before you study theology, make sure you learn how to think naturally and understand concepts that you can bring into theology that illuminate it, but also protect you mm-hmm. from, you know, falling astray in a way that makes sense to you at the time.
Sure.
You know?
Again, and it makes sense to you at the time, you know, observational. Right. So that's some of the church's teachings on superstition, but there's some really interesting stories where these superstitions come from, right? And the origin of them. So like I just mentioned opening an umbrella inside, right? That goes back to Egyptian times. And they worshiped the sun, right? They worshiped Amun-Ra. But then if you were to open an umbrella outside, you're protecting yourself from the sun's rays. But if you were to do it inside, you are offending the sun god. That's where that superstition goes back to, right? But a lot of superstitions do go back, you know, at least in our Western society, to Christianity, right? So, for example, this is a really famous one, Friday the 13th. Everyone thinks this is an unlucky day. You know where that comes from?
Oh, Mike Myers.
Mike Myers. No, wasn't that dude? That was Wayne, right?
No, man. Michael Myers was the guy that killed. Yeah,
So Friday the 13th goes back to Jesus was crucified on a Friday, and there was 13 people at the Last Supper, and the 13th was Judas.
Right?
And that in Christian numerology, 12 is the number of completion. That's a complete set, like the 12 tribes of Israel, the 12 apostles, et cetera. So if you were to add one more, things become chaotic and incomplete.
That's crazy. Yeah, and there's a lot more superstitions that come from
Friday the 13th goes back, a lot of people say it goes back to the Templars. So the Templars, King Philip of France issued the order that on Friday the 13th, all the Templars were to be rounded up and arrested. And a lot of people say that it goes back to that particular date, that Friday and the 13th, those two negative superstitions coming together as one.
Numerology.
You ever see Groundhog's Day?
I love Groundhog's Day.
I love that movie. It's one of my favorite
movies. I love
Bill
Murray.
So Groundhog's Day, you know, the whole premise of it is that, you know, if a groundhog sees a shadow, it predicts the future, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what day is Groundhog Day?
It's got to be on a solstice somewhere.
It's February 2nd, right?
Okay.
In the church, what's February 2nd? It's Candlemas. Candlemas is the blessing of candles. It's the end of Christmas.
Right.
So now you're changing seasons, and it has to do with the reflection of light. It has to do with, you know, is this season now changing? Will we get into spring now that we're out of Christmas? So it goes back to, you know, if you look at Groundhog's Day, it goes back to Austria. This is, if a badger is in sun at Candlemas, he'll have to go back into his hole for another 4 weeks.
Right? Wow.
So Groundhog's Day, the superstition of predicting an early or late spring, goes back to the end of the Christmas liturgical season and the blessing of candles.
That's wild.
Right?
That's wild. Well, what did they do if they didn't have beavers around?
They used, you know, whatever animals they had readily available, you know.
Just dig a hole for them.
Yeah, throw
a
squirrel
over here.
Hey, squirrel, you see anything?
A rabbit hole.
This is one I see a lot now. Like, I see, like, athletes wear it. I see a lot of young kids wearing it. You ever see, like, the statue? It's like a hand pointing down with an eyeball on it.
Yeah.
It's called the Hamsa. It's the protection against the evil eye.
Mm.
That's a really, really common thing that people wear now. And they are, like, it's like the evil eye is like people glaring at you and putting curses on you.
Oh,
and
yeah.
they're wearing that. And this is really common in particular in like the Middle East, in like the Levant, in North Africa, in Arabic cultures. But you'll see this kind of picking up where a lot of people are wearing this, right? But that can even go back, you know, to Christianity, where Christ said in Luke 11:34 that the eye is the lamp of the body. If a person's eye is generous, then their whole body will be full of light. If their eye is evil, then their whole body will be full of darkness. So you always got to be looking out for, you know, Howard that, over there looking yeah. at us with his evil eye, cursing yeah. us. So people wear this little amulet to protect themselves against that.
That's so weird.
But the people believe that if they wear, you know, and here's that, you can see that right there, right?
Yeah, go up though. You can see it on the right. Yeah, yeah, like I've seen stuff like that hanging in people's houses.
Yeah.
Hamsa.
Or the yeah. Hand of Fatima.
Hand of Fatima.
Right?
Kamsa Hamsa.
What's that going to do, though? How's that going to protect you? What's an evil eye? It's just, you know?
They're paranoid people.
Right. But so that shows you, like, they're like a talisman is going to protect you from evil that's passed you by somebody's eyeball?
Yeah.
I didn't know
eyeballs could do that.
Well, I mean,
they can't.
That's why he didn't know they could do it.
I think they use the middle finger in New York City.
I think that's everywhere. You know, I know that you're kind of in between houses right now, and you're buying a new house, right?
Yeah.
And I know that you have devotion to St. Joseph. You ever hear the practice of bearing a St. Joseph on a property you want to buy?
I have.
That's a really superstitious action.
Does that come from anything good?
It just feels like paganism to me.
Yeah. Most of the people that do that really aren't very much churchgoers.
No, this is kind of a cultural thing. And you're reducing St. Joseph and a statue to a...
And you're burying him, dude.
You're burying him upside down?
Upside down? Like, come on, man. No. Give him some dignity.
Or don't bury a statue because that's not going to do anything. How about saying a novena to St. Joseph, the person providing a house for the infant Jesus.
The terror of demons.
How would you pray through, you know, St. Joseph to the Holy Family for a house? But like you magically, by burying him upside down, that's going to control the outcome of it. I don't like that. If you've ever heard that and you think that's an okay Catholic practice, don't do that. Mm-hmm. That is outside the bounds, if you ask me.
And it's good we're telling people because I'm sure a lot of people think it's, you know, okay. And you know it's still popular,
right? When I was a younger guy, you know, first getting my first house, I thought, wow, I really want this house. Maybe we should bury St. Joseph. I'm like, I love St. Joseph, and I'd love his help getting this house, you know. And I thought to do that. I never had actually followed up, but it seemed like common sense. But now, as you know, I've grown up and I've studied more. That just sounds so idolatrous and paganish.
Yeah,
you know,
burying him, dude. Come on, man. Stick him up in front yard. Nice and right, proper.
Yep. You ever cross your fingers for good luck?
I've sent an emoji.
An emoji?
Yeah.
What's an emoji?
I don't know. One of those little things, you know, on your phone.
Yep. So a lot of people say that the whole concept of crossing your fingers behind your back, right? So cross your fingers or cross your fingers for good luck goes back to the persecutions of the early Christians, right? So they would go and say, look, I need you to make an incense offering or make a vow to the emperor. Otherwise, we're going to kill you, right? You had a lot of Christians who would rather have died.
Right.
But you also had a lot of them who were like,
I
don't want to die.
Yeah.
And they couldn't stand up to the moment. And I probably would have been one of them. I'm being honest. Like, those early martyrs were so strong.
Yeah.
But for the ones who didn't, a lot of times the practice they would do is they'd cross their fingers and behind their back to still maintain that they don't believe what they're doing, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So, and then it became a superstition for good luck. Sometimes it'd be a secret way of showing people that you are Christian because you're making a cross. You know, it's a secret sign, a hand signal.
Wow.
So that they would know, like, okay, oh, someone's going like this, crossing their fingers. They know that they're Catholic and they're leading you to like a house church to celebrate Mass. So that goes back to the underground church during the persecution.
Yeah, that's crazy. Like, you know, I'm just thinking like they probably use it when they're lying to each other too. Like, hey.
Maybe. I don't know. What's a really, like you ever hear like the song Superstition by like Muddy Stevie? Waters and Holly Wolf. Like Black Cat just crossed my path.
Oh, right? yeah.
You know, that's one of the big things. Like, oh, dude, you see a black calf. That is bad news. That's a superstition.
Yeah.
So there's a really kind of crazy story that goes with that. So that actually goes back to a papal encyclical, Vox in Rama.
What?
Okay.
When was that?
Gregory the Ninth in June 1233.
Dang.
Okay. So here's what's going on. This is Gregory the Ninth calling for a crusade, okay, to Germany. Because there was a big movement of Luciferianism, of devil worship, going on in Germany in 1230s. Okay. Whoa. So the Pope's like, we got to stamp this out. Now, one of the practices that in this encyclical that he said that you can identify these Satanists by is that they worship black cats and they kiss black cats on the butt.
Oh.
Right? Which, you know,
it's not very enticing for all your evangelical purposes.
I don't think so. That's just unsanitary.
It's just disgusting.
So because of this, a lot of people read this and they start, whenever they see a black cat, they're like, oh, well, that must be Luciferian, right? Yeah. And they must be trying to whatever. So then one of the big things is that because of this, everyone killed black cats, which were the majority of cats in medieval Europe, which then led to less cats to kill rats.
You know,
which led to more rats running around with fleas, which meant to more fleas biting people, which led to the Black Death.
Oh my God.
Which
dude.
Happened, you know, just 30 years later. So
the Black Death was caused by the genocide of well, it's not
that's
even
what
genocide.
People try to make
felinicide?
The claim. Felinicide. People try to make that claim. Now that's not true. There's nothing but that claim has been going around on the internet for 30 funny. Years now saying, oh, well, the Pope caused the Black Plague by killing all
funny.
The black cats.
Now, you know, fleas had somewhere they had to go. They had to go somewhere.
Right. They're not going to hang out on a dead cat.
No.
They're going to skip to the next animal. You know, I got a black cat, right?
Yeah, he's vicious.
Yeah, but is he Luciferian? No, he's cool. So black cats are not, they're not bad luck. They're just cat.
I just don't like cats at all.
Oh, dude, my cat's awesome. Cooper's the dude.
He is the dude. He's a killer.
We got him on the feast of, we found him. He just followed my daughter home, walking home from school. We followed him home on the feast of St. Joseph of Cupertino. So his real name is Joseph of Cupertino. We call him Cooper.
That's funny.
Or sometimes we call him Joey Coops. Yeah, Joey Coops. It's a good name.
Oh, what a killer. Yeah. What a killer that thing is.
Here's another one. Spilling salt. You ever spill salt and you see people throw it over the shoulder?
Yes, I have. A long time ago.
Yeah.
Not recently.
I mean, it's like you spill salt. You're like, oh, dude, bad luck for spilling salt. And you got to throw it over your left shoulder.
Yeah.
You ever see like a picture where there's an angel and a devil on your shoulder?
Mm-hmm.
Always the devil's on the left shoulder. It's called the sinister side. Your left hand is the sinister side. So the tradition is that if you spill salt, you throw it over to hit the demon, the devil, over over your shoulder.
That's so weird.
Now, a lot of people say that superstition goes back to, if you look at The Last Supper by Da Vinci, and you look at that whole thing, and you look at Judas, in front of him, the salt is spilled over.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Now, the superstition goes back probably further than that, but I think that might have like really, that might have been its viral moment that made that superstition spread, that you see Judas and you see salt spilled in front of him. Pull that up and take a look at that.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. See that?
Let's see. Where's Judas here? Oh, there he is.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's back there. There's the salt.
There's the salt, right? I don't know if a lot of people have ever noticed that.
Huh. Really cool.
Yep.
Well, you know, we have a sacramental and the blessed salt.
Right.
You know.
Now, a lot of people say, well, it's because salt was so pure that it was a sign of purity, and to spill it was a degradation, so you had to throw it. But in reality, it probably goes back to Roman times. So, you know, when you get paid, what's it called? It's called your salary.
Mm-hmm.
That comes from sal. Or salt. So Roman soldiers were often paid as part of their portions salt, because salt was basically the refrigeration of the time, and you can preserve your food. It's super important, but most people can't go hike over to the sea every time they need salt. So salt was a main part of your portions, and to spill it was considered very bad luck.
Wasteful, too.
Wasteful.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's probably where it goes back. So it's probably predates Christianity, but it, like I said, probably got its viral moment in The Last Supper.
Woven. It was woven in.
Do you know what's actually not bad luck and something that's not superstitious, but something that you should do that actually will help your religious practices?
Pray.
Yes. And you know what's a great app to help you do that?
Hallow.
That's right, Ryan. Why don't you tell us about Hallow?
Hallow is the number one Catholic Christian prayer app on the planet. I mean, billions of prayers have been said on this app. There's a lot of community efforts. They're launching a parish program. I use it every day with my children, and I use it every day with my wife. I pray rosaries, listen to music. I mean, it is the index of all things good for prayer in the Catholic Church, as well as other challenges and things that we did during Lent. I'm doing the Lenten challenge, and it's literally life-changing to me. I bought the book that they're referencing, the Walter Chizak book,
okay,
for my kids, and we're going to read that. So this has had like a massive impact on my life, my family's lives, and I'm just really grateful to call them a partner of our show. I feel humbled because I think that this is an app that's doing so much good in the world today, drawing people back into prayer and helping them learn to pray again.
I mean, do you know how many people are going through Lent with this as its guide? So, I mean, you have all these great spiritual guides throughout history written by the saint and these spiritual meditations.
Yeah.
This is no different.
Right.
This is the modern equivalency of these great spiritual Lenten guides written by these saints.
Yeah.
And then people will sometimes pishtah it because it's an app.
Mm-hmm.
Like, then they genetically dismiss it out of hand because it's just an app. Well, it's just a book. It was just a pamphlet, right? But this thing is helping millions of people. I mean, they've been blowing up, and people are adopting prayer every day because of this app.
Yeah.
It's an amazing thing, and there's so many features. So if you go to catholictalkshow.com/hollow, you can download this app 100% free and try it out and see if it's something that really does help your prayer life. It has things like sleep aids, Bible in the Year with Mike Schmitz. It has podcasts. It has sacred music. It has Lectio Divina. It has night prayers. It has examines. It has examination of consciences. It has the whole Bible on there. This app has so many resources. And I often think that if you were to go back in the Middle Ages and say, look, I can give you the Bible, meditations, I can give you Lectio Divina, I can give you the whole examines, I can give you the Liturgy of the Hours right here in a size this big, they'd say, what miracle worker made this? They said, it's a miracle.
I really like, too, also the routines that you do, because I started to develop a routine with using the app on when I went to work and different things like that, and then it's actually like it's like seeing where I'm at, what time it is, and saying, hey, you ready? And I just click it, and it opens up. It's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah.
So, again, go to catholictalkshow.com/hollow. You can try the app out for free. You can try out all the premium features and see if it's something that you want to subscribe to. So we recommend it. I use it every day. I know you do, too. So check it out. So a few more superstitions that have kind of Christian origins. I think one of the best good luck charms. I mean, what's the most common good luck charm you can think of?
Lucky charms.
That's it. A four-leaf clover. Now, the four-leaf clover is so tied to St. Patrick, right? In the shamrock, right? As his teaching analogy of the Trinity.
Yep.
But then a lot of times it would represent either like the three spiritual, the virtues, or it might, you know, whatever. And that if you were to find one with the fourth, that meant on top of all that, God is particularly with you, right? Mm-hmm. So that was the sign of good luck. The other pious belief is that in Eden, four-leaf clovers grew everywhere. And that as Eve left Eden, she took one plant with her to remember Eden by, and that it was a four-leaf clover. That's one of the Irish myths around four-leaf clovers. Now, really, it's just a genetic mutation in the clover plant that you have an additional leaf grow on it, so there's nothing to it. But four-leaf clovers, I mean, I remember I found one when I was a kid. I was like, this is awesome.
Yeah.
And I think it's 1 in 10,000 clovers is a four-leaf clover.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So it's pretty hard to find. They are pretty rare. I think rarity makes it feel providential.
I got a bunch of them in my cereal box. Lucky Charms?
Dude, Lucky Charms are good.
That's so good.
You ever had like a Lucky Charms milkshake?
Oh, no.
Dude.
I've had the like a Rice Krispie treat with the Lucky Charms.
That's just decadence. Good. That's why people hate us in the West. Yeah. That we just can have Lucky Charms treats whenever we want.
Mm-hmm.
We're very blessed.
We are.
Last superstition that I think is really interesting is walking under a ladder. You ever hear that one?
Yeah. You know, I kind of thought it was a dangerous thing to do, and that's why. Don't walk under a ladder.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
I didn't know there
was
superstition involved when I first heard about it.
Here's the explanation of why that became a superstition. So if you take a ladder and lean it against a wall, what shape does it make? Triangle.
An A.
Well, it makes a trinity.
Yeah.
So the belief was that by walking through or destroying anything like a triangle, it was an offense to the trinity.
You're going
to
break up the band.
You're going to break up the band.
Yeah.
You're going to break up the hypostatic union and the whole scutum fide.
That's a bit extreme.
I don't think walking under a ladder is going to affect the union between the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
No, maybe?
No, it's just not. Yeah, it's like.
I don't know. Look, I'm just some dude on the internet who talks about Catholicism. I don't know anything.
Just thinking for a second.
But, you know, using the old hat rack of a head that I got, seems to me that might not be the case.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean, that's... I mean, all these things, it's just like the background and the history of some of it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, and they all seem so harmless.
And they've stuck with us for so long.
Right, and they seem they're like, what is that big deal? Like, oh, four-leaf clover, it's cool. It's a nice little thing to have.
Yeah.
But when you start to stack these things together and you start to ascribe power to them and you start to submit your intellect or your will towards them, it starts to become problematic because it can cloud your sole reliance in providence on God and your sole reliance on salvation in Christ and your sole reliance on guidance of the Holy Spirit. It takes you away from the Trinity. And that's why superstitions are bad. But, you know, these little things, they seem harmless. They add up into something that could be dangerous.
Yeah, so don't do it.
Don't do it.
Don't do it,
so,
man.
So look, don't be superstitious. Just be a little stitious and that's enough. Right?
Not superstitious. We'll leave that up to the Howards of the world.
All right, so we really appreciate you joining us here. We have new episodes every week. If you go to CatholicTalkShow.com, you can find all the different ways you can subscribe to us, all the social media platforms you can follow us on, like Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, X, TikTok. You can subscribe to us right now. This is one of the best things you could do to help us out is if you go to right below and click like, share, and subscribe to this video. That helps us reach more people. And again, if you want to support us financially and help participate in our mission, you can go to CatholicTalkShow.com/Patreon. There you can find all the different tiers that we have and different ways that you could help support us. None of them, we're not asking for tons of money. All we're asking you for is just pocket change to help support the mission so that all of our listeners combined can help us continue to grow the show and reach millions of people like we have in the last 5 years. Yeah. So again, go to CatholicTalkShow.com/Patreon. We really appreciate it. And we have great gifts to give you in our gratitude. So, Ryan, fun episode. Let's do it again next week.
Yeah, we'll see you guys next week.